Today, we are going to be talking about my favorite ways to make money in the middle, i.e. millions in the middle, being the middleman. But before we do that, I want to get into these current events so I can keep you guys up to date on what's happening in the world. Today, you're in for a treat as we both dive in together on this new format. I don't have a teleprompter, so I will be glancing at my notes a little bit, but I want to make sure that I'm able to give you guys some real-time updates when it comes to what's going on in the world, what's going on in the markets, so that you don't have to be sourcing information from every which way. You can get it from your boy. All right, so let's dive into this new format. All right, so first on the list, Biden is putting a cap on credit card fees, right? We know, we have long known for years that credit cards can be very predatory in nature, with APRs, you know, over 25%. So if someone finds themselves in trouble, it can be very hard to get out of that debt, right? So Biden is putting a cap on fees, which hopefully should help the consumer when it comes to managing and effectively paying down their debt. So we'll see how that affects things coming down the pipeline. What I'm interested to see is, as a result, will we see kind of a constraint or less benefits being offered to credit card holders, right? Because oftentimes, just like a gym membership, we have some people that are gonna use the gym every day, and we have some people that are gonna come, you know, once a month, if that. And what happens is that allows the gym to kind of basically, you know, exploit the system a little bit. Same thing with credit card, right? There's a handful of people that actually know how to use it. And for those people, right, yes, they get the rewards points, they get the benefits, but the credit card company is really designed for the person who is going to be paying high interest. And that is how they can, you know, manipulate it to where it's like, all right, cool. Like George over here is not getting, we're not getting anything out of him in terms of interest, and he's getting all these benefits. But the 90% of the other population, that's where we make our money. This is going to limit that a little bit. So we'll see how credit card companies like Amex respond with their features, benefits, credit card lounges, et cetera. We've already seen some pullbacks in that space in terms of like what you get access to. So it'll be very interesting to see if this change trickles down to the consumer. All right, next up, we got Ray J. Ray J sells shares of Raycon Global to a large television network. Ray J is a very business savvy move on Ray J's part. A lot of people have a lot to say about Ray J. What we can say is he is pretty doggone business savvy and or has some great advisors around him, right? So this move is netting him out. Don't quote me on the exact amount, but I know it's north of, I think, $20 million. So shout out to Ray J on making this strategic business move. All right, next up, we got a real estate settlement that is doing away with the standardization of the longstanding 6% fee. Some people are in agreement of it. Some people think that it makes no sense. So we'll see more to come on how the market responds to it. But essentially, this means that the buyers and sellers have more say in how this process works, right? Some argue that this could be great for the market. Some argue that this could not be so great because historically, buyers typically don't pay a commission at all, right? Typically, the seller does. And so now if the seller's saying, I'm not paying the full 6%, you might see now buyer's agents, right, saying, hey, look, in order to work with me, you got to pay me a commission or whatever the case may be. And so that could muddy the waters a little bit. It could make it a little bit challenging for first-time home buyers who are already having to come out of pocket with down payment money and things of that nature. So more to come on how this impacts the market. But by and large, I think just the conversation is good because it forces scrutiny to make sure that things that we've just accepted for an extended period of time actually still make sense in today's market. So more to come on that. Yo, Dollar Tree, what's going on? Dollar Tree reported over $1.7 billion in losses and is projected to close 1,000 stores, right? So here's the thing about businesses and margin, right? In certain economic environments, when interest rates are low, right, it might be easier to operate a business like Dollar Tree, right? You might think that in recessionary times, people would gravitate towards places like Dollar Tree. But if the business can't run because their margins are too thin, then it's not going to work, right? And so Dollar Tree is having some issues. Reported $1.7 billion in losses and slated to close 1,000 stores. So what do you guys think about that, right? That's huge news, and I'm interested to see how this is going to impact other low-cost retailers as well. All right, so the Federal Reserve left rates unchanged this past week, right, which I think was kind of priced in. We kind of expected that, no movement there. But they did let us know that they still do plan to cut rates a few more times this year, which definitely can impact the real estate market and other markets as well. So we're excited to see how that comes down the pipeline. But ultimately, as it stands right now, rates remain unchanged. In IPO news, Reddit shares a surge on their initial IPO at a valuation currently, or as of this video, at $6.4 billion. They did ultimately end down for the weekend trading, I think about 14%, but investors are optimistic on the success of Reddit. I typically don't invest in IPOs initially. That's just not my jam. There's a lot of movement in the stock. Typically you see a dip initially. So I typically stay away from IPOs, let the dust settle a little bit, but shout out to those who got in on Reddit. We're excited to see where this particular stock goes. Do you guys use Reddit? Let me know in the comments. All right, and in other exciting news in the stock market, Chipotle announces a 50-to-1 stock split, right? Chipotle has been absolutely crushing it for a while now. I think they're up like 28% year to date. They recently announced a 50-to-1 stock split. For those of you all who don't know what a stock split is, I want to break it down for you. So I actually went to Chipotle. I'm adding some footage in here for you guys. I went to Chipotle and I was like, I like Chipotle. Let me get a bowl. Let me check out the business a little bit. And I want to rate the food and I want to rate the stock, right? But I also want to explain what this 50-to-1 stock split means, right? So I went to Chipotle and I got an extra tortilla so I could do this breakdown. I hope it's not super dried out. Like, I went there yesterday. I wanted to explain this to you, right? So Chipotle stock is currently trading at 28.82, I want to say, right? It is kind of dry. 28.82. Kind of messed this up a little bit. But that's what they're trading at currently, okay? And so what happens is now Chipotle, with this 50-to-1 stock split that they're going to do, means that instead of having to buy Chipotle at $28.82 per share, you can now buy Chipotle stock for as little as $57 a share as of its current stock price, right? What does that mean essentially, right? So let's imagine this torn and tattered tortilla. Let's imagine that it was all whole. And this would represent one share of Chipotle stock, right? Let's ignore the fact it has some little gaps in it right now because it was all folded up, right? And it was from yesterday. Now, if I were to tear this up into 50 pieces, right? I'm obviously not gonna tear it up in 50 pieces. But if I were to tear this up in 50 pieces, that would essentially be exactly how the 50-to-1 stock split is, right? It's still the same total, right? If I tear this in 50 pieces, it's still the same one tortilla, just split in 50 pieces. Now you might ask, well, if it's the same tortilla, right? If it's the same quantity overall, just ripped in little pieces, what's the point of doing it? Well, what it does is it now allows new investors who might not have an appetite, pun intended, for a stock price of $2,800 per share to be able to get into the stock for much cheaper. Right. Typically after a stock split, similar even to an IPO, right, you might have some people that were long holders of Chipotle that might dump some shares, right? To some other people, you might see a dip initially, but at the end of the day, if you're a long-term holder or desire to be a long-term holder in this company, whether you buy right at the split or if you buy right now, doesn't really matter. If you don't have $2,800 a share, then great. Wait till the stock split and now you can be a holder of Chipotle. So big news in Chipotle stock. Now, oddly enough, I went into Chipotle, like I said, and the day I went, they didn't have any rice, right? The good thing is I'm trying to get my summer body right, so I didn't want no rice anyway. They had no rice, so people walked in, walked out, because they're like, no rice, how you gonna have Chipotle with no rice? Their credit card machine was, they weren't accepting cash, which wasn't a big deal for me because I don't typically carry cash anyway. But it was an interesting experience. Food was still pretty good. I would give the bowl I had 6.9, right? Normally with the rice and all the trimmings, maybe closer to an 8, I'd give it a 6.9. But the stock, however, I give the stock a solid 8 out of 10, right? Not telling you to buy it, do your own research, but the Chipotle stock is moving really, really strong, has been for a while, and it might be something worthwhile owning, especially now that it's becoming affordable on the news of this stock split. I also want to let you guys know that with the advent of fractional shares, even if Chipotle did not do the stock split, you could still own fractional shares of Chipotle. What does that mean? It means that even though Chipotle stock is $2,800, if you want to simply invest $300, you can buy $300 worth of Chipotle. And the pushback I always get is like, well, if I'm only buying a fraction of the share, is it still meaningful? Is it still good? My response always is typically a pizza analogy, but I'll give you a Chipotle analogy. If I had a whole bowl of Chipotle and I gave you a third of it, is it going to be any less flavorful? Absolutely not, right? It's still valuable, still amazing. You're just buying a proportion of it that's relative to your diet or your appetite, right? In this analogy. All right, another news. We have some earnings coming up this week. I'm going to read them out to you. So we have Monday, we got BuzzFeed, FitLife Brands. Their earnings reports are being released on Monday. Tuesday, we have GameStop. Wednesday, we have Carnival Cruise Line. That's been an interesting one for a while here, especially since the pandemic. Thursday, we got HB Fuller. And Friday, we got Gemini Therapeutics, right? So those are the earnings that we have coming down the pipeline this week. In other news related to stocks, right? There's some stocks that we have our eye on that have been either been oversold or overbought. Oversold meaning that the sentiment is a little bit too negative, and these actually might be great buying opportunities. Again, not saying that they could be great buying opportunities for you. Always do your own research, but the data is telling us that these could be good buying opportunities. And overbought, meaning that too many people are piling into the stock, and right now the price action related to this particular security doesn't make as much sense, right? So on the oversold list, we have Tesla, we have Boeing, and we have Southwest Airlines. Now, with Boeing and Southwest, right, mainly Boeing, obviously Boeing has been in the news. Their planes have been being called out for being faulty. They've been in the news for even like some pseudo like mafia vibes, like whistleblowers going missing. So Boeing is taking a beating right now. Tesla's down over 30% on the year, even though they had an amazing 2023. So it might, if you're a long-term buyer of Tesla or a believer in Tesla, now could be a potential time to start looking at getting into the stock potentially. All right, and when we look at some of the overbought stocks, right? Now we have stocks like DuPont de Nemours, Targa Resources, and Garmin, right? These stocks, based upon our indicators, are looking overbought. So if it's a position that you currently hold, if you're not a long-term believer in it, it might be time to trim some of it. And if you are interested in it, you might want to wait for a potential pullback according to the data, right? Because these stocks are currently overbought, it might not be the greatest time to enter. All right, and so for today's Financial Freedom Fast Lane topic, how you can make millions in the middle. All right, so oftentimes people get discouraged from entrepreneurship because they feel like, oh, I have to become world-class and become an expert at this thing. It's going to take time, and it's going to take me forever to start making money, right? Which is a misguided assumption, but I can understand the sentiments of like just feeling a little bit intimidated on not being a super expert on any particular topic, right? Which is why I'm so glad that there are ways for you to make millions in the middle, and you don't have to be an expert. I'm going to break it down to you like this, right? So the market is really based upon three principles. You have a buyer, you have a builder, and you have a broker. You have someone that wants to buy something, right? That's common sense. That's the only way people make money in markets. You have someone that has the technical expertise on how to build something. And then you have a broker, a system or a person who connects both people. And that's where you come in, my friend, by being that middleman. Being that broker, that conduit that connects both people. Right? Earlier, we were talking about real estate and how the there's putting a cap on the fees, or really the industry is changing in general, and you have the ability to negotiate the fees, right? Well, if you think about it, a real estate agent is just that, a middleman, right? You have the buyer, the person who wants to buy the house. You have the builder, the person who knows how to build the house. And the real estate agent is just the broker who connects the person who, right, in the middle, right? Like they want to connect the person who wants to buy the house, right, with the person who built the house. And the real estate agent does that. So you can do this in many different ways, and it means you don't necessarily have to be an expert at everything, and you can still get paid in the middle. So I'm gonna give you a few of my favorites that anybody can start tomorrow, right? So right now, content creation, just like this, is all the rave, right? And there's people who need content produced for them, people who need content edit for them, designed, et cetera. And so what I like to tell people that they can do is you can find people who are already creating content, and maybe they only have long form and they're not putting out as much short form. Maybe they don't have somebody to manage it. Maybe they don't have the time to do it, whatever the case may be, right? What you can do is you can say, hey, I see that you have an amazing YouTube channel, or I see you putting out amazing long form content. Have you ever thought about chopping it up, doing some micro clips for your other channels? They're gonna say yes, they're gonna say no, right? Well, I have an agency that can take your long form content and get you 3 to 5 videos per video that you already have. Would that be something that you're interested in, right? Now you might be saying, well, George, I know nothing about video editing. Why would I go out having this conversation? Well, the reason why you would go out and have this conversation is because you can go to a website like Fiverr.com and you can literally find somebody who can edit short form videos for pennies on the dollar. So what you would wanna do is you'd wanna submit for a sample, get an idea of their workflow, their timing, if they're able to deliver based upon, you know, what they say they can do. And one of the ways to kind of mitigate that is look at their reviews, only choose somebody who has at least like 4.8 or above and has 100+ reviews, because you have your pick of the litter. So get somebody who it looks like they already know what they're doing, submit a sample, make sure you really understand their rates. And then now you can use that. Let's say they charge $5 a video. Now you can charge $20 a video, right? And I would encourage you not to do standalone videos. I would encourage you to do like packages. And now you can package those videos together. Say, hey, look, I'll do 30 videos a month, i.e. a video a day, for XYZ price. And as long as you have margin between what it would cost you to get it done by this Fiverr person and what you're gonna charge, you didn't have to be the video editor. All you had to do was be the broker in the middle to connect both people. Now you might be saying, well, if that's the case, why would someone pay me to do that? Well, convenience is a tax on the lazy. They might not know that this process exists. They might not want to manage it. And that's why they're not doing it. The reality is, if they knew it was possible, they'd be doing it right now, right? If they wanted to do it, even if they knew it was possible, they'd be doing it right now. So there's an opportunity. Some people are gonna say yes, some people are gonna miss your messages, some people are gonna say no. Doesn't matter, it's a numbers game. And the more of the story is you can get somebody to say yes, and now you didn't have to learn anything about video editing, and now you just made a profit in the middle, right? So let's put it into perspective. Let's say that the Fiverr person charges $5 a video, you do 30 of them, that's $150 for the whole batch. You charge 20 a video times 30, 600. And you still have margin, right? If you wanna like charge, most people will probably pay $600 for 30 short form videos, right? But you have a profit there, right? Of $450, all you had to do is be the middleman. Yes, there's technology about AI that can chop up videos and ChatGPT and all these things. But you have to remember, high level people don't have the capacity and the time to manage the process. So that's why they would be willing to pay to outsource it, right? And that's just one of many examples. You can do the same thing for graphic design. You can do the same thing for social media management. The way that I figured out that this actually works is that in 2018, I believe it was, I actually tested this out and I started a digital marketing agency just for shits and giggles. I wanted to see if I could test this theory. And I found a client and I said, hey, look, you have a great, amazing brand, but your social media doesn't seem like it aligns with the vision of your brand or where your brand is perceived to be. Am I missing the mark here? They said, no, you're actually right. Hey, we have a great agency where we can create the content for you and we can manage it for you. You don't have to worry about doing anything. It's gonna cost you $2,500 a month. That's it, are you interested? Obviously, I gave them a little bit more sauce than that in terms of like the benefit and the value add, right? More of the story is they said yes, right? And now we got a client on retainer for $2,500. And I found two guys locally, one who was a videographer and one who was a social media manager. Both of their rates were about $600 a piece. And I was profiting like at 50% because I paid them their regular rate and then charged $2,500, right? I don't know anything about social media management. I don't know anything about video editing, but I was able to start a digital marketing agency off of that. Now I could have gone on to grow and scale it infinitely. We worked with a former athlete to the Panthers and all sorts of stuff, but it became a little bit distracting for me from my main thing. I validated that it worked. I sold it to my business partner and I moved on. But I was able to do it, and we didn't even have a website. Why? Because people don't really care about that. They just care about the product. So if you were to literally go to some top influencers, take their existing content, go get it chopped up, you could literally use that as your sample portfolio. Now, you don't want to go around and saying, hey, I work with these 10 people, but you can say, hey, here's an example of the quality of the work that we can do, right? And now that's in your portfolio because you found somebody on Fiverr, you paid them to do it, and now you have those digital assets, right? So that is how you can make millions in the middle. And again, you could do this in so many different industries, but we live in a digital age now where people are creating content and the graphic design and video editing and things of that, and that things of that sort. So I wanted to highlight that, but you can essentially do this in any industry. So I hope that that's helpful. Let me know in the comments, what middleman business are you gonna start and execute on immediately? Go to Fiverr right now. You could be a copywriter. You could do people's email marketing. You could leverage ChatGPT. Again, yes, unless you're living on a rock, people know that they could do this stuff, but they don't do it. I'm a prime example. I pay a copywriter thousands of dollars a month to do our email marketing because I don't have the ability to manage the process, go on ChatGPT, put all the emails, make sure that it's all right, make sure it's scheduled, make sure it's sent. I don't have the capacity to manage that, so I still pay this person thousands of dollars a month to do it. Not to mention, when you leverage things like AI or these other tools, even if that's the pushback, now you can just increase your output relative to the fact that this technology exists. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, you can essentially say, okay, cool. Well, normally a copywriter might charge $1,500 a month for 8 emails a month or something like that, right? Because they have these AI tools that can pump out more content, they might say, well, shoot, I can do 30 emails a month. Doesn't really matter because you basically have no additional incremental cost, just a little bit more time, which even that's relative because a tool like ChatGPT or whatever the case may be is doing all the heavy lifting. So ask yourself what opportunities exist where I don't have to be the expert. I can be the broker. I don't got to be the builder. I don't got to be the buyer, which literally eliminates all excuses because the buyer has to have the money. The builder has to have the skill set to build. All you got to do is connect the dots, right? So let me know what comes to mind for you. I guarantee if you flip your couch over, it's going to say made in Indonesia, made in China, made wherever, right? But it was probably sold on Wayfair or IKEA, right? The American dream was made in China. Anyway, folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Financial Freedom Fast Lane. Let me know if you enjoyed this format with the news in the beginning. I know you guys are used to me getting right to the topic, but I hope that this was helpful. We're going to evolve it. It's going to get better. But I just wanted to test this out so I could be your go-to resource for things that are happening in the world right now. As always, freedom is for sale if you're willing to pay the price.